Chapter 1 Boy Scout Troop 1440 was dismissed by Major Ludwig promptly at 5 p.m. on Tuesday afternoon, and the boys hustled outside to their bikes. As always, Theodore Boone lingered for a moment to say goodbye to the Major. Then he stepped into the cool evening with plans to head downtown to his parents' law firm. At the bike rack, he saw Woody Lambert, one of his good friends, and noticed once again that he wasn't smiling. Woody never smiled these days, and that in itself would not have been noticeable, except that in place of a smile or a grin or any sign that life was normal or even okay, Woody was going about his business with a sad, sour expression, as if life was beating him up, as if he carried burdens and problems too heavy for a 13-year-old boy. Theo had known him since the fourth grade, when the Lamberts moved to Strattonburg. Their home was unstable. His mother was on her second or third husband, and the current one was often away on the job. His real father had disappeared years ago. His older brother, Tony, had been arrested once and was gaining a bad reputation. Theo suspected that the Lamberts were having serious problems, and that was why Woody seemed so unhappy. Theo said, "Let's go to Guff's and get a frozen yogurt, my treat." Woody immediately shook his head no. Even frowned. No thanks. He never had spare change, and he was too proud to allow Theo or anyone else to treat. Theo had known this for a long time and felt like a jerk for offering to pay. "You okay?" Theo asked. "I'm fine," Woody said as he climbed on his bike. "See you later." "Call me if you need me," Theo said, and watched him ride away. Woody did not respond. Home was the last place Woody wanted to go, though he suspected the house would be empty. His mother was working two part-time jobs, and on Tuesdays she waited tables at a diner near the college. Her husband, Woody's stepfather, worked in construction and made good money at times, but the jobs were sporadic. Currently, he was out of town, 2 hours away, and Woody hadn't seen him in a month. Tony was a sophomore at Strattonburg High, but was in the process of dropping out or flunking out or getting kicked out for bad grades and low attendance. Tony's attitude was so lousy, he didn't care how he left the school. Woody parked his bike under the carport, walked through the unlocked door to the kitchen, yelled for Tony, heard nothing, and was pleased no one was there. He was spending a lot of time alone, and it wasn't all that bad. He had choices, options. He could play video games, watch television, do his homework, or plug in his electric guitar and practice for an hour or so. Of the four, homework, of course, ranked last. His grades were slipping, and his teachers were asking questions, but no one at home seemed to care. There was rarely anyone at home. Theo parked his bike outside the rear door of Boone & Boone, the converted old house his parents had owned since long before he was born. He entered through the door, stepped into his own little office, and was immediately met by Judge, his faithful dog, who'd been waiting for hours. Judge spent his days at the office doing nothing of any importance except sleeping and begging for food. He moved quietly around the place, napping on one small dog pallet for an hour or so before easing along to another. He had at least four beds, three downstairs and one up, but his favorite was the soft one located under Theo's desk. Each afternoon, in anticipation of his best friend returning from school, Judge went to Theo's office and waited. Theo rubbed his head, chatted with him for a moment, then the two of them went to say hello. Vince, the paralegal, had left for the day, and his door was closed. Dorothy, the real estate secretary, was hard at work, but stopped for a second to inquire as to how Theo's day had gone. The door to his mother's large office was closed, a clear indication that she was meeting with a client. She was a divorce lawyer. Most of her clients were women, and when they met behind closed doors, things were usually tense. Theo did not even think about knocking. He had no plans to be a divorce lawyer. At the age of 13, he had already decided that he would become either a great courtroom lawyer, the best in the state with big, important trials, or a great judge who presided over those trials and was known for his wisdom and fairness. Most of his friends were dreaming of careers as professional athletes or computer geniuses or brain surgeons or perhaps even a rock star or